no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday for another hour or so of old-time radio, a variety of different types of shows. We're going to start off this week with Voyage of the Scarlet Queen and the Shanghai Secret from July 3rd, 1947. And we'll take a quick Incredible But True break and hear Death of a Monster. We'll finish off this show with The Mysterious Traveler and Killer Come Home from July 18th, 1950.
Entry, the Ketch Scarlet Queen. Position, 123 degrees 8 minutes west, 37 degrees 31 minutes north. Gyro compass course 237. Wind, fresh. Sky, fair. Remarks, cleared port of San Francisco at 2:30 p.m. Sailing delayed 19 hours due to death of first officer. Cause of death, the Shanghai Secret. I stood there on the pier that evening, the ache in my frame reminding me that the last long, hard day of loading stores was behind me, and watched a China-bound freighter feeling her way out into the fog-shrouded harbor. The Scarlet Queen nudged her fenders against the dock right below me, her bright work shining like costume jewelry even in the failing light. She was beautiful in her new white paint, and she was mine, all 78 feet of her. She rose and fell, just a little, delicately, lifting the carved wood figure under her bowsprit out of the shadows now and then. A fresh, young body, looking forward, bold, teasing, dressed in only a crown and painted brilliant red. The Scarlet Queen, the woman my own particular world revolved around. But that gray San Francisco evening wasn't cut out for romance between man and lacquered wood. I didn't hear him as he walked up behind me, but it didn't take me long to pick up the odor of a jail cell after he opened his mouth.
You Philip Carney?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Kessel, San Francisco homicide. You know a man named David R. Malone?
Yeah, he's my chief mate. What did he do?
He died. Come on, you got a date at headquarters.
Wait a minute. A little sudden on a full stomach. What happened to him?
The books are going to call it murder by a person or persons unknown. Homicide wants to know you better.
And so Mutual begins The Voyage of the Scarlet Queen, written by Gil Dowd and Bob Tallman, and starring Elliot Lewis. The Scarlet Queen, proudest ship to plow the seas, bound for uncharted adventure. Every week, a complete entry into the log. And every week, a league further in the strange voyage of the Scarlet Queen.
Your last name, first and middle initial.
Carney Philip M.
Age?
29.
Height?
6'2½".
Weight?
207.
Eyes blue, hair brown. Scars or other identifying marks?
Yeah, a tattoo. A three-strand Turk's head on my right bicep.
A what?
A three-strand Turk's head. It's a knot, you know. Or does somebody else tie your shoelaces? Kessel, I'm getting awful sick of this.
Shut up and answer the question.
Address?
The Ketch Scarlet Queen.
Street number?
Street number? How... Pier 48, berth 2, Embarcadero, not permanent.
That'll be enough for now, O'Brien.
That might be a pretty permanent address at that, Connie.
Not with me paying the rent. I got my port clearance and I'm leaving tomorrow.
Maybe you are, Connie. How long had you known Malone?
Since about 5 days.
Not about, Connie. How long?
5 days. I signed him on 5 days ago.
Uh-huh. When'd you see him last? Exactly.
Between 12:30 and 1 this afternoon, I saw his stern end going around the warehouse at Pier 48. He turned to the right.
Exactly. He went to room 218, the Crown Hotel on Columbus Avenue, the North Beach section. Why?
Because he's human, I suppose. They build hotels for people to go into.
He didn't look human when we found him.
Look, Kessel. I don't know anything about it. I'm sorry Malone's dead. He was a nice guy. But that's all I can give you. If you want an alibi, I've got four seamen who loaded stores with me all day. That'll carry me to the time you tap me on the shoulder. What do you want, a halo?
That's all right, it's all right. Just don't get sore, Connie. Here, you want a cigarette?
No, thanks. All I want is a cab back to the Embarcadero. On you.
Sure, we'll take care of it. Just a couple more questions.
Oh, stop. That patience act fits you about like a bare midriff evening gown. Take it off, get comfortable.
Thanks, Connie, I will. What could Malone have learned on your Scarlet Queen that somebody would go to a lot of trouble to get out of him?
What are you talking about, Kessel?
Malone was tortured, that's what I'm talking about, for a good long time, and then somebody slipped or lost their temper.
He didn't know anything.
He didn't know why $50,000 was deposited in your name last year?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, Barrett, bring Funston in.
The name Funston rang just a faint bell for me, but I recognized the little guy they brought in all right. If there was anybody who knew about my banking business, he did. He worked there, in the assistant cashier's office. Down there, he was just another face looking at you through rimless glasses. Here, he looked like trouble.
Mr. Funston, is this the man you say received that $50,000 letter of credit?
I'm sorry, Mr. Carney, but the police, you know. Yes, sir, he's the man.
Remind me to bank someplace else next time.
That's all, Mr. Funston. Thank you.
I hope you understand, Mr. Carney. I had to answer the
question. Cast off, Funston. I'll thank you later. You guys have got long noses, haven't you?
Yeah. When things smell as rotten as this. It was deposited in the San Francisco bank while you were in China with the Marines.
Where are you getting this, Kessel?
It was sent over as a letter of credit from a firm in Shanghai called Kang & Son. Most of it went to a local shipyard where your Scarlet Queen was built and to a flock of coast companies for your cargo. 50,000 mystery dollars, Carney. And a voyage to nowhere.
I won it in a crap game, and my articles say Honolulu.
Honolulu. With enough stores aboard for a 2-year cruise, who do you think you're kidding, Connie? Why don't you talk?
Why don't you get tired? You're pumping a lot of bilge flush. You're bluffing your heart out, and you know it.
All right, Connie, you can go.
But it's about time.
But you'll be at Pier 48 when we want you.
What do you mean by that?
The Coast Guard's a cooperative outfit. Your port clearance has been revoked until this is cleaned up. I'll call you when I want you again.
I would have traded places with any engine room hand on any Great Lakes ore ship after I left Kessel. And I hate freshwater almost as much as I hate engine rooms. Kang had warned me when I signed with him in Shanghai. The opposition, he called him. An octopus with a body in an office building in Hong Kong, a brain called Constantino, and the tentacles groping across the world for the prize Kang was sending me after. A $10 million prize somewhere in the South Pacific. Its exact location was Kang's secret. And Constantino was ready to bribe, steal, or murder to get that secret. I didn't know who his San Francisco tentacle was, but I did know that it had killed Malone. I knew that he'd been tortured for something even I didn't know. The true destination of the Scarlet Queen. It was 7:30 by the time I got back to the Queen. I checked the mooring lines, went into my cabin, poured myself two quick, stiff drinks, and started to clean a .45 automatic I'd gotten out of the habit of wearing. If Constantino's machine had gone into operation, I figured it might be a healthy habit to get back into. I had it stripped and spread out on my desk. And that's when I met Gallagher. Big Red Gallagher.
Hello, Skipper.
Who the devil are you and how'd you get aboard?
I wanted to talk to you. I'm Red Gallagher.
Where's my gangway watch? He's got orders, nobody aboard.
He tried, Skipper. Don't blame him, but you know how it is. I wanted to talk to you.
He didn't have to explain. He held up a hand about the size of a fielder's glove and rubbed the knuckles as if they were bruised. He didn't have to say any more.
He was about my size, wearing a shapeless, stained white duck officer's cap, faded dungarees, and a jumper with the sleeves rolled up. His face was heavy-featured, but not flat. His eyes gray and set off by crow's feet wrinkles and squinting into the sun. And they were laughing at me.
But no harm done, Skipper. He hasn't hurt bad.
Maybe he wasn't big enough to put you over the side.
Now, wait a minute, Skipper. Take it easy. We'll just bust up a lot of furniture and lose a lot of skin that way. Don't be so jumpy.
All right, unload in a hurry and get out of here, then. What do you want?
I hear you're looking for a new chief mate, and I want to sign on.
Where did you hear I was looking for a new chief mate?
I got a friend at the mall. He keeps me abeam of these things.
Uh-huh. Is the rest of the story for sale?
What story, Skipper? Is there something I should know?
I don't like your trim, Gallagher. Maybe it's because you think you can get a berth after knocking my crewman around. Maybe it's because I think you're lying in your teeth. Either way, I wouldn't get into a dory with you.
Wait a minute, Skipper. I was made for this trip. I know that South Pacific.
How do you know where I'm going?
Maybe that scarlet beauty under your bowsprit whispered to me.
You're too nosy for me, Gallagher. Get your sea boots off the ship. I'm manned and loaded and ready to shove as soon as I get clearance.
When do you think that'll be, Skipper?
What do you mean by that?
There you go, getting jumpy again. That was a civil question. I just wanted to know how long, that's all.
It'll be as quick as I can make it.
Yeah. I guess I can't blame you for that, but maybe it'll be long enough for me to try again. You need me on this ship, Skipper.
I've lived a long time without you. Keep your eye on the newspaper shipping columns, Gallagher. That's as close as you'll come to my sailing. After he left, I reassembled the 45, checked my naval code on the disposition and effects of deceased seamen, and started to get Malone's gear together. In the pocket of one of his coats, I found a match folder from the Gorgonio, a bar advertising pre-war liquor and continuous entertainment. On the inside, somebody had written a name, Helen, and a number that straightened me up like a right to the chin. It was 218, the number of the murder room at the Crown Hotel. Twenty minutes later, I was at the Gorgonio. It was a typical non-tourist North Beach bar. Good, healthy fishermen up from Fisherman's Wharf. Three women at the bar, and one sitting at the electric organ up on a platform. None of them had Helen printed on their backs, but the only one whose name anyone would bother writing down was the girl making with the music. Honey-colored hair with a gardenia over the left ear. White shoulders pushing out of the whiter gown. A face full of confidence in the rest of it. And no wonder. After I finished my drink, I walked back toward her. Say, excuse me, but would your name be Helen?
Well, that's a novel approach, isn't it?
Should I go back and try it over with Irene or Penelope?
What's the difference? It ends the same way. Can I play something for you?
This one suits me. If I could talk to you through it.
Can't for the life of me see what we'd have to talk about.
Maybe some other time we can get around to that. But I ran into an old mate of mine yesterday. He mentioned this place, and you know I'd like to locate him. His name is Dave Malone. Do you know him?
Malone? Sure he said he knew me?
Yeah, I thought so, but maybe he was just hoping, huh?
Yeah. Afraid that must have been it, because I don't know any Dave Malone.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things. He mentioned your name, so I thought I'd give it a try, but I'll coast around. Maybe I'll come back on my own sometime.
I hope you do. I'll be here.
Wear that dress, will you? I had another drink at the bar and kept my eyes off her just enough to catch her looking at me with more than a professional look once or twice. She did go off guard right after I threw Malone's name at her. I was sure of it. I finished my drink and went out the door like I had someplace to go. But I stopped right after I got out of range of the windows, counted five, and eased back so I could just look in. She was leaving the platform. And I, along with the good, healthy fisherman, watched her sway that white gown back to the phone booth. It wasn't taking her long to contact somebody about me contacting her. It was just chance so far, but there were Malone, Helen, and 218, the number of the murder room at the Crown Hotel. It could have been coincidence, but there isn't much room on the back of a match folder. The Crown Hotel was a narrow brownstone front building squeezed between two more narrow brownstone front buildings. I looked in at the musty lobby. It was empty. I tried the door once to see if it was going to ring a bell someplace. When nobody showed up, I went in. There was a dingy brown hunting scene hung on one wall, and a dingy brown smell of bad ventilation hanging over everything. There was an immodest calendar from a Reno gambling club wasting its time behind the desk, and a register book that had seen more lives than Munchausen. And I flipped the pages back to the day before, found room 218. It was registered to one John Smith. Then, just on impulse, I flipped back to the current date and found myself on top of the whole mess. Sprawled in an awkward hand against room 218 was the single name, Gallagher. Room 218 and the name Gallagher, all I needed to keep me going up those stairs. All I had to remember to enjoy bringing that .45 out of my shoulder holster was the picture of that wide grin and those gray eyes. I'd have gone through that door even if it hadn't have been unlocked.
Well, Skipper, come on in.
I'm in, brother.
What's all the hardware for, Skipper? Why are you always aching for a beef when you and I run into one another?
Let's throw that warm friendship, shall we? Let you do a little talking that you mean for a while.
I never say anything I don't mean, Skipper. You'll learn that when you know me better.
That's what I'm here for, Gallagher, so start saying something you mean.
Sure. Why do you think I took this room? If I wasn't sure you'd be bullying around this neighborhood tonight.
What interests me most is that you did.
I knew you'd like it, Skipper. I know you've got to have Malone's murderer before you can clear San Francisco, and I can give him to you. They call him Mr. Fox. He's working for Constantino. If you didn't know that before, you know it now.
Who's Constantino?
You're being cagey, Skipper, and that's all right. You don't know what to say because you don't know how much I know. I don't know how much you know, so we're even, right?
You're talking.
So Fox didn't learn what he wanted to learn from Malone. He tried too hard. So he paid me $2,000 to sign on with you. I was supposed to find out what part of the Southern Oceans you were making for, and the payoff was going to be $1,000 a month. But just keeping the finger on you and waiting to be contacted. It was an easy deal.
Somebody in your family must have been born with shark fins not too far back.
There was supposed to be a great uncle under the Jolly Roger, Skipper, but no fins yet. But I got reasons. I'm telling you this because if they'd pay off like that for just a line on you, I figure the real dough is going to be made on your side. You got a hold of something big. I still want to ship with you, but for you.
Well, I'm a dirty... I'm telling you, Gallagher, for the price of the queen, I can't tell you who's crazy in this room.
Nobody is, Skipper. You're going to be ahead, too. Believe me, you are. I can help you clear up the mess here in Frisco. I'll put you next to the fox and his mermaid.
Oh? Her name, Helen?
How'd you get that?
She isn't hard to find.
Well, that's right. Helen Curran. She led Malone to this room with a smile and a promise.
Yeah. Neither one would look good from her. I know I was there.
She's seen you? Did you tell her who you were?
Are you nuts?
Then it'll work. Listen, but tonight you're the chief mate of the Scarlet Queen. You beat me out of the berth. If you'll go for that story, I'll get you Malone's killer.
Or put me on a morgue slab for another $2,000. I trust you like I trust the compass at the North Pole.
It'll take you a month to get him without me, Skipper.
With you under homicide's third degree?
Even then. Now, here's my deal, and we both make headway. I get the mate's berth, and you get your port clearance. But we got to have a bait. That's you. And we got to have somebody who can put it in the right place. That's me. You got the 45. Take a gamble, Skipper. I'll show you how it works.
It was about 10:45 when I pulled my left ear for luck the last time, followed him down to the lobby, took my last look at that Reno calendar. Gallagher looked like he was enjoying putting me on the block, and the only reason I could dream up for playing sucker was the idea that as long as I kept the line on him, I was at least secure to something. He squeezed me into the phone booth with him when he put the bait on the hook. He held the receiver so I could get my ear into it, too, and called Helen Curran at the Gorgonio.
Hello, baby. This is Red.
Oh, it's about time. I thought you were coming in.
And something came up. Did you get the gardenia?
Sure. Sure, I'm wearing it right now. When can I show you how much I like it?
Don't talk like that when I'm so far away. Listen, things got foul tonight, but I think they'll work out anyway.
What happened, Red?
I missed that mate's berth by about 15 minutes. A guy by the name of Pritchard beat me to it.
Red, the fox is like this.
I think he will. Did a guy come in there tonight looking for Dave Malone?
Yeah. Why, Red?
That was Pritchard. And he's got the information we want.
That sounds funny, Red. How'd you get all this?
He stuck his head in a bar where I was, and I recognized him. He knows where they're headed. I could have maybe pumped him for it, but I thought it'd be better if you and the Fox were in on it, too.
Yeah. Where is he?
On his way back to the Gorgonio to see you. He's big. So I'd better tag along for the party, don't you think? Maybe in your apartment later, if you can get him there. And I think you can.
All right, Red. Give me a half hour to get through to the Fox and call me back. I'll let you know where he'll pick you up, okay?
Yeah, but, baby, take it easy till I get there. I don't want that gardenia crushed on anybody's shoulder but mine.
Ellen Curran knew her business. She didn't go overboard selling herself, but like nature taking its course, she in the white gown and I got into a cab after closing time. Her apartment was in the Buell Arms on Russian Hill. It was a little overdone in modernizing a setup that was dull mid-Victorian a few years back. Light walls with Venetian blinds. Some flamingos and parakeets flying through verdant jungles and framed before they started. And a bedroom to the right that she went into saying something about something comfy. When she came back, I saw clearly that she went for off-the-shoulder hostess gowns, too.
There now. I feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter with me, anyway?
Is there something?
I always seem to stir the wrong approach in you. Or are you just shy?
With you, you don't need an approach. You just move naturally.
You aren't shy at all, are you? You're just overconfident. You've been spoiled by women.
It's never hurt me. But then it's not very often as appealing as your brand.
Do you think I'll spoil you?
Uh-uh. But I wonder if you'd hurt me.
Not even if I could, and I'd... Hey, wait a minute. Oh, I couldn't hurt you if I wanted to, could I?
I don't know, but from where I sit, who cares? Like I said, she knew her business. And I had to keep remembering that it wasn't all crushed gardenias tonight. We finally did get around to a drink out of a rattan-covered bottle, and I could tell by the heavy, lidded look she gave me over her glass that I was supposed to be a complete victim and as meek as a kitten with a full belly. She knew her business. But knowing that she knew her business, I went along with the kitten act. But I was as ready as a tiger when Gallagher opened the door. But I wasn't ready for the man he brought with him. It was Funston. L.B. Funston, still looking through the rimless glasses, but now his eyes were steely hard, and it only took one deep breath to realize that he was the Fox. He had a small caliber gun out of an inside pocket faster than I could get my breath.
Wait a minute, Gallagher. This man's name is not Richard.
Fox, what do you mean?
I know it. Something went wrong. This guy's Phil Carney, the master of the Scarlet Queen.
I was sitting on the couch, and after a sellout like that, there was no use standing up. Helen left me like I'd broken out with the purple pox, and Gallagher still stood behind Funston looking at me with that grin.
Red, he's the one who was in to see me earlier.
Never mind, Helen.
He isn't the guy I talked to.
Never mind, I said. You're an impulsive man, Carney.
A little surprised at you, too, Funston.
What are you doing here?
I like a game of bridge as well as the next guy.
You play a stupid game. You should remember that your Red Queen is not the top of the suit.
She'll do.
She'll never win a trick. You'll never use her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But you're bluffing, Funston.
Uh-huh.
Either that or you're double-crossing Constantino and talking for yourself. Fighting to stay clear of Malone's murder.
I want more than talk.
You're still bluffing. You don't want to hurt me, because with me out of the way, Constantino's octopus would have nothing to follow. Wise up. You don't scare me. I'm too valuable.
All right. I'll pay you $25,000 for the destination of your Scarlet Queen.
I can't hear you.
There are other methods, Carney.
Now you're bluffing again. You'd never get it that way either. And what did Constantino say if you laid me next to Malone?
That's something I'll have to find out. At the moment, that looks better than arrest for murder. Stand up, Carney.
You're really on a spot, Funston. You're even getting the double-crossing your own people in this room.
Now, who's bluffing, Carney?
I mean, you're getting it from Gallagher. He knew who I was tonight.
Gallagher!
Skipper, why do you have to rush? Hey! I'm all right, Skipper. I'll take him. What's the matter?
I raced her across the room to a table. She had a drawer open and a nickel-plated revolver half out of it by the time I grabbed her.
Drop it! Drop it!
Sorry!
No! I said drop it!
Calm down, sister. Get over there and calm down. I grabbed her by the arm and tossed her across the room and had that .45 out before she landed. I twisted to look at Funston. Gallagher had hit him hard enough to keep him from opening until Christmas. He was tangled up with a throw rug and not thinking about a thing.
Oh, well, Skipper, there's your port clearance and my chief mate's berth spread all over the room.
Yeah. Now, what the devil was the idea of you leaving me to shake hands with that gun of Funston for so long?
I had to do it, Skipper, to keep him off guard. He knew our story was fishy before I got him up here.
He knew?
Yeah. He knew you hadn't signed on to chief mate.
He had good spies. Where'd he find that out?
He got it by being the honest banker.
Huh?
Eager to play along with the police. He kept in touch with your friend at Homicide, Kessel.
Yeah. I knew that Kessel was a good man.
But we're a great team, Skipper. We're standing up and they're laying down.
But Constantino isn't with them. We'll hear from him again. Keep an eye on him, will you? I got a proud call to make to Homicide. By 2 the next afternoon, we cast off from Pier 48 and were headed out. We went through the Golden Gate under power, sitting on the wheelbox with a bottle between us. We followed the channel buoys out to the Farallon, picking up that good deep water roll, and the driving westerly started to sing through the rigging. I felt like a man getting his back out of a cast and walking again. Perked up too, and they fell through with a will when Gallagher started falling on them. The men liked them too. Even the one he slugged had a pulse in the bottle and shook hands with them. They took their stations at the mainland. The halyards hoisted away smartly, and the head of the mainsail climbed up the mast. And the white expanse of it bellied out and pulled the deck beneath me, hove over the port. And I could feel the power at the wheel. The gibsail boomed out. Then the mizzen. The Scarlet Queen was glad to be free, too. She took the bone in her teeth and charged every swirl as though she were carrying on a one-woman war with the whole Pacific.
Is the rig heavy enough for you, Skipper? We're showing 8 knots on the taffrail loft.
Good enough. We'll hold her full and viable nightfall, and then let her off some.
Oh, you got a fine lady here, Skipper.
They have you like a queen. To get us to Kaiui Channel in less than 14 days.
That means the Royal Hawaiian Bar in less than 14 nights. What's the run from there?
That'll depend on the wind and other circumstances. Japan, the coast of China, then south across the line to the shallow sea.
How long are we going to be down there?
We may never get there, so who cares how long it'll be?
Not me. I'm not married.
You are now, mate. For the Scarlet Queen, the big of us.
Oh, better let me take the wheel, then. We got to have a honeymoon sometime.
Sure, take over. Course is 237 on the gyrocopter. Got her?
Yeah. Hey, she's got spirit. What a wife she's going to make. What a honeymoon. Want a drink, Skipper?
After you, mate. Your wedding day. And you'll make a handsome couple. Believe me, you do.
Log entry. Catch Scarlet Queen. 5:30 p.m. Miles traveled 31. Wind brisk. Sky fair. Sea cresting with high cross swell. Mainsail and mizzen reefed. Ship secure for night. Signed, Philip Carney, Master.
Voyage of the Scarlet Queen has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Out of the telltale traces embedded in the ancient rocks, science has constructed a picture of prehistoric life. It is a picture filled with grotesque and monstrous creatures who walked the earth at the dawn of the world. At least, so the textbooks tell us. But then, the textbooks carefully ignore the bewildering experience of a man named Amogino.
Among zoologists and paleontologists throughout the world, the name of Professor Florentino Ameghino was known and esteemed. Each year, in his opening lecture at the South American University where he taught, the professor would stress what an accurate and exact science paleontology has become.
During the coming year, are not guesses. We know that there were such animals as the dinosaurs, the giant sloths. We know what they looked like.
Yes, Professor Ameghino was almost complacent in his faith in the science which he taught. But on a certain day in the late summer, the professor arrived at the university to find a small box lying on the desk in his office.
What's this box doing here, Ramon? Someone sent it all the way from Patagonia. Oh, here's a note on top. Dear Professor, I know you will be interested in this. It was found hanging on a bush near Ultima Esperanza. The natives claim to have killed the animal it belonged to, but they do not know what kind of animal it was. Perhaps you can figure it out. That is a piece of hide. What sort of creature?
Wait a minute. No, it could not possibly be.
A few days later, when Professor Ameghino arose to deliver his opening lecture to his new class, the air of assurance, of authority, was gone.
What I teach you is not to be taken as gospel truth. Perhaps our whole science is a structure of self-delusion. I do not know.
Word of this strange, disturbing lecture spread through the university. When it reached the ears of the professor's colleagues, one of them sought him out in his office and reproached him. The professor's only answer was to take the piece of hide from the box on his desk and hand it quietly to his colleague.
How old would you say this skin is, Doctor? When did the animal die?
Well, not more than a year ago, obviously. The skin is still quite fresh.
And what sort of animal was it?
What animal do you think it was?
I know what animal it was. That is the skin of a giant sloth.
A giant? Are you out of your mind, man? The giant sloth died out at least 25 million years ago. This cannot be the skin of a giant sloth.
No, it cannot be, can it? And yet, that's precisely what he is.
Until the day he died, Professor Florentino Ameghino maintained that he had correctly identified the piece of skin. And since his death, evidence has accumulated to justify his opinion. But how a prehistoric monster, a member of a species condemned to death eons ago by the laws of evolution, could have been wandering across the plains of Patagonia in the 20th century, this science has never explained. It remains a mystery, incredible but true.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Traveler. Written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Cogan, and starring tonight three of radio's most distinguished actors, Scott Tennyson, Frank Behrens, and Agnes Young in Killer, Come Home.
This is the Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, and it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can. For tonight, we have a different kind of story. We're traveling into a remote section of the Kentucky Mountains, where the ties of kinship are stronger than the law, to join two escaping convicts. It's the story I call Killer, Come Home. In a lonely section of the mountains, two men crouch in the brush. Far in the distance, they can hear the siren of the state penitentiary from which they've just escaped that evening.
Listen to Will and Willie. They're sure anxious to get us back here. They're not getting us, Missouri. We're not going back.
I sure hope you're right, Harry. That sure admired to know just where we are going.
We're heading for Deep Valley.
Deep Valley, where's that?
Cross four ridges and you come to it. It's just about lost back in the hills.
And what's that for us?
My old home. My ma and my brother Tom. They'll hide us out.
You sure that?
Blood's thicker than the law in these parts. Not that brother Tom and me ever got along good. But he'll hide us out. Or else.
Or else what, Harry?
Or else Maul. Listen.
Huh? What is it?
I hear a car coming up this road.
A car?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I can hear it now, too. That's an old jalopy. Duck down, let it go by.
Nothing of the sort. We're going to stop it.
Stop it? You crazy? Every one of these old hillbillies have to have a shotgun beside him.
You leave this to me.
Okay, Harry, you're calling the cards.
Now, I'll talk to him. You slip up from behind. Use a rock.
I've got one right here.
All right, then come on.
Hey there! Stop that car, huh?
What do you want?
I'm a deputy sheriff. There's a prisoner escaped from Stone Mountain. We're searching all cars.
Huh? You have to speak up, mister.
I said we're searching all cars for an escaped convict.
Escaped convict?
Yeah.
I ain't seen him. Now step aside. My old woman's been expecting me since sundown.
Well, that's too bad, Pop. We've got other plans for you.
Huh? I didn't catch what you said.
See if you can catch this. All right, Missouri.
No, don't...
Good work. That takes care of him.
What are we going to do with him now?
Take any money he's got and tumble him into the bushes. And then we'll ride the rest of the way to Deep Valley to pay a surprise visit to my old ma and dear brother Tom.
Well, Doc, how is she?
Well, she's 70, Tom. That's all that's ailing her. Anything fretting her, anything on her mind?
She's pining to see Harry, Ring.
Harry?
Yeah, my brother, 5 years younger. Kind of a pet of Maul's. Every year about this time, she gets a notion he'll be coming home for a visit. Makes her upset.
Well, then that's why she's not eating or sleeping. Would help her a lot if your brother Harry could pay her a visit.
Yeah, well, I expect that ain't possible.
No. Dead?
Not exactly. Locked up.
Oh.
Stone Mountain Penitentiary. Robbery. Been in there 4 years.
Your ma don't know?
No, I kept it from her. Afraid it might kill her.
Well, I expect you're right, Tom. Shock like that might finish her off.
Yeah. See, Harry Tayton went off to the city 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Got in with a gang of some kind, got into trouble with the law. Only time he come back here to see Ma was when he had to hide out for a while.
Oh, I see. Well, try to keep her from fretting, Tom. But there is another thing.
Yeah, Doc?
She shouldn't be staying in this cabin, and neither should you. She should be down to town where she can get looked after better. Besides, the way the river is undercutting the banks, this cabin's going to topple right into it someday.
Yeah, Big Rock is eating this way fast, all right. But Ma won't move, not until she sees Harry again.
Well, try and persuade her, Tom.
All right, I'll try, but it ain't much use. She's afeard does she move, Harry will come back here for a visit and not be able to find her.
Tom?
There she is now. I better go on in.
All right, Tom. Night. But try to persuade her to move out before this cabin falls in the river.
Yeah, I'll try, Doc. Good night.
Good night.
Tom, boy, where be
you? I'm a-coming. Here I am, Ma.
Open the window, son. I've a hankering to hear the big rocky river rushing by down there in the gorge.
Sure, Ma.
River's loud tonight. Coming closer and closer, ain't it, Tom?
Yeah, too close. When I was a pup, there's 4 acres of cornfield twixt us and that there gorge. Now it's hardly room for a hill of taters.
been trying to get us ever since your pa built this cabin. Old River has. Eaten away toward us year by year. But he's never got us. And he never will.
He will if we don't move. Come on now, listen. Doc Hawkins is right. He's right. We got to move from here down to town.
All right. We'll move, Tom. But only after Harry comes. If we was to move, he might not find us. He might not know where to look.
But, Ma...
My mind's made up, Tom. Harry's coming soon. I know he is. Then we'll move.
Yeah, but supposing he don't. The last letter he wrote, he's mighty busy. Suppose he don't come for quite a spell.
He'll come. He's on his way now.
Now, Ma,
don't try to tell me no, son. Something inside me tells me when Harry's coming to see me. And I never been wrong yet. Right this minute, my boy's on his way home to see his Ma.
Try the starter again, Missouri. Maybe the motor will catch now, huh?
It ain't no use, Harry. This old tea kettle just done stopped percolating.
Well, it brought us 50 miles. The valley's just over the next ridge. We can hike it.
What are we going to do with this jalopy?
Looks like a deep ravine here beside us. We can push her in.
And then we head for your ma's cabin?
Not by daylight. We don't head any place. It's most sunup now. We'll camp here in the brush till it's good and dark tonight, and then we sneak up to the cabin.
I don't like this here country, Harry. All these here hills and valleys, it's mighty fine country to die in.
Well, it's good country for hiding out from the law in, too. Don't worry, Missouri, we're going to make it. And with the help of Brother Tom and Ma.
Tom.
Oh, yeah, Ma. I guess I was dozing off right here in my chair.
Turn down the lamp, son. Smoking bad.
Oh, sure. There. Won't have to clean that lamp chimney tomorrow. Well, it's 9 o'clock. Past time for you to be in bed.
Just a minute more, Tom. Foggy out tonight, isn't it? I can smell the fog in the air.
Yeah, foggy and dark. Won't be moon up for most 9 hours.
Huh? What was that, Tom?
Sounded like a rock slide.
I can hear it playing now, Tom. Old River's undercutting the cliffs, being it?
Yeah. Big rock fall about half mile up the gorge there. Ma, now listen to me. We got to move. We plumb got to. River might undercut us any time and dump us 100 feet down there in that gorge.
I said we'd move as soon as Harry's come.
Yeah, but he might not come in time.
No, Tom, no. Because he's coming here tonight. My boy's coming here tonight.
Ma, what are you saying? He can't be coming
he
here.
He is, I tell you. Glory be, my boy Harry's coming to see his old ma at last. I can feel his thoughts reaching out to me through the dark. Finding me. Telling me he's on his way.
But, Ma...
Don't argue, Tom. So, ain't I always told you true? Other times Harry came.
Yeah, I reckon you did. You always knowed afore he got here. But now this time you're wrong. You just got to be.
I never been wrong yet about Harry's coming, Tom. It's like something calling out inside of me. And it's telling me he's coming closer every minute.
Well, if he's coming, you'd best get rested for him now. You can sleep till he gets here.
In a minute, son. Maybe this time Harry'll stay. Maybe he won't go off again the way he always has before.
Maybe.
Restless, Harry was. Restless like the river. Hungering for far places and bright lights. For the city. for city ways and city clothes, city talk.
I reckon he was.
But maybe this time he'll stay. Maybe he's had enough for traveling.
Now we'll see when he gets here. Just time now for you to be getting your rest. Here, take my arm, Ma. I'll help you to your room.
Listen to that, Harry. That's a bloodhound.
All right, Missouri, so it's a bloodhound.
Well, they're closing in on us. They guessed we'd come to this valley. They got patrols out with bloodhounds looking for us.
Yeah, looks that way.
We're done for, Harry. They're going to trail us here, and they're going to get us.
I tell you, they won't. Tom will hide us somehow.
Seemed to me you're pinning an awful lot on your brother Tom. Maybe we won't even reach the cabin.
Missouri, I forgot to tell you something. We have reached it.
I have reached it?
Yeah.
You mean that cabin over there we've been watching the last 15 minutes?
Yeah, that's my home, Missouri. We're there.
Why didn't you tell me?
I like surprises. Anyway, we had to watch it to make sure there wasn't any strangers inside.
We ain't seen nobody but the old lady there and the heavyset fella sitting in the kitchen.
Ma and Tom. Yeah, and there they go. Tom's helping her. Probably she's going to bed now. All right, Missouri, we can slip in now. Come on along. Here's a path.
What's that river here?
That's a big Rocky. Runs through a gorge back of the cabin. She's fast, but you can float a boat down her. Okay. Now we go in.
Oh, man, it feels good to be inside.
Keep your voice down. Keep your voice down. We take Tom by surprise. What are you doing there?
I'm just pouring coffee here out of this pot. Ain't very hot, but... Man, it sure tastes good.
Well, pour me some, come on.
All right, sure. There you are.
Oh, boy, that went down good. Oh, 24 hours since we've eaten.
Listen. That bloodhound's closer.
Quick, wipe that cup. We'll duck into the storage lean-to.
Well, why do we have to hide from your brother?
We don't. But I hear somebody coming up the path. Come on.
All right, then, quick. Let's get ourselves hid.
This way. Come on.
I'm coming.
Evening, Tom.
Sheriff. Well, come on in.
Much obliged. Expect you know why I'm here, Tom.
No, I can't say I do, Sheriff. What's happened?
You mean you ain't heard?
Heard what? We got no radio box here and no telephone neither. How'd I hear anything?
Thought maybe somebody stopped by to tell you.
Tell me what?
About your brother, Harry.
Harry?
He escaped yesterday from Stone Mountain.
Escaped from the penitentiary.
Him and another fella named Missouri. I figured he might head for home.
That's why I've been hearing bloodhounds.
I got men both up and down the trail in case he tries for here. I got the cabin watch from down below, too. Just wanted to tell you.
Oh, he wouldn't come here, Sheriff. Harry ain't no fool.
He might figure you'd help him. Was I an escaped killer, I'd sure head for my kinfolk to get help.
Killer? Well, Harry's no killer. He went to penitentiary for robbery.
He's a killer now. Him and this Missouri, they stopped a car yesterday. Stole it. Bashed in the driver's head.
Murder? Harry done murder?
Don't know what else you'd call it. You found the car over in the next valley. So we figure Harry can't be too far away.
Maybe that's why Ma said...
Yeah?
Nothing. That's mighty bad, Harry killing that there driver.
Now that you know, you figure on helping him if he gets here?
I guess not, Sheriff. For anything else, I won't say. I don't know. But killing? No, sir, I don't hold with killing. If he shows up, I'll keep him for you, Sheriff.
I reckon I can get back outside.
Have a cup of coffee before you go. I got some here.
Well, thanks, Tom. Maybe later. Gotta go now. I'll be stopping in again later.
bloodhound. For Harry. Harry out there in the dark. Bloodhound on his trail. Ma mustn't know. She mustn't never know. Coffee. Yeah, I guess I'll have a cup myself. It's empty. It's funny. All right, Harry. You can come out now. Harry. I said you can come out of the lean-to now. You might as well come out, Harry. I know you're there.
All right, Brother Tom, we'll come out. All right, Harry. Stand there. I got my gun here and she's loaded. I suppose the empty coffee pot gave us away.
That's right. I knowed I hadn't emptied it. And then it come to me somebody must have slipped inside while I was in there with Ma.
Well, I was coming out anyway. I just didn't want the sheriff to see me.
Yeah. Your friend can come out too now.
Come on out, Missouri. Tom knows you're here.
All right, Harry. What kind of greeting is this? A loaded gun pointed at our noses. You said you could count on your brother.
Sure, I can count on him. Can I, Tom?
Expect you heard what I told the sheriff. That still stands.
He's going to turn us in.
Oh, no, he isn't.
You're staying right where you are, Harry, till the sheriff gets back. And you're going along with him.
Without saying hello to my dear old mother? She'll be disappointed.
She's sleeping. Sound. She'll never know you're here.
I have an idea that she'll wake up.
Why should she wake up if we're quiet?
But we're not going to be quiet, Brother Tom. When the sheriff comes back, we're going to make a real loud racket.
But then she'll hear you. She'll know you're here.
That's right. Then she'll know everything.
Harry, that'd kill her.
I wouldn't know about that. But I'm sure going to yell.
Oh, no, no, you couldn't. You'd be killing your own ma, man. Nobody could be that low.
I tell you, she'll learn everything. Unless you let me and Missouri get out that window.
Prison's changed you, Harry. You are a killer now.
All right. So it's changed me. And I'm not going back. No matter what happens. Now, you gonna let us go out that window or not?
Out that window.
That's what I said. The door's being watched. We heard the sheriff say so.
Maybe they're watching the back too, Harry.
Oh, no, no. Not a chance. It's only about 100 feet to the cliffs above the river. But there's a path down to the water and a boat anchored down there. Once we get to that boat, we can drift right out of this state. Tom, is that boat still there?
Yeah. Boat's still there. Tied up further down, though.
We'll find it. Well, how about it? Going to let us get out that window the way I used to go when Pop was on the rampage after me? Or do you want me to wake up Ma so I can tell her goodbye before the sheriff drags us off to be hanged?
No. No, I can't let you do it. The law's a law. Sheriff's coming up a path now. You two just stand still.
Tom, I'm warning you.
Be quiet. Come on in, Sheriff. Come in quick.
What is it, Tom? You sound... Well, that'll be it's Harry and the other guy.
Yeah, it's him. He was hiding out. Put away your pistol. I got my rifle trained on him.
Yeah, let me get these handcuffs unlocked. I'll cuff them together. Call my men. We'll take them away.
This is the kind of help your brother's given us. And you talk so big, Harry.
Shut up, Missouri. We ain't taken yet.
Sheriff, just one thing.
Yeah, Tom?
My ma's never to know. You hear? She must never know about Harry. It hit a killer to learn he's a jailbird and a murderer.
Yeah, I reckon it would. All right, I passed my promise on it.
But I haven't made any promise. Oh, Ma.
Harry.
Ma.
Harry, you can't kill your own Ma, man.
Well, I'm not leaving without saying goodbye to her. That's all. Just goodbye. Ma.
Ma, where are you?
Harry. Be that you, Harry?
She's here. It's me, all right, Ma. I've come to see you.
I knowed you was coming, son. Come in here. Bring me out to the light where your ma can look at you.
I'll be right in as soon as I've said hello to Tom.
Well, Tom, now she knows I'm here. I can't go without a little visit with her.
You can, you will. Come on now, put out your hands.
How about it, Tom? Want me to tell Ma I can't stay because I've got a date with the sheriff?
Harry, son, what's keeping you? Your ma's hungering to see you. Come bring me out to the light.
I said put out your hands, Harry. I'm not taking any nonsense.
No, Sheriff. Wait.
Tom, I know you don't want to upset your ma, but these two are killers. I just
sorry,
can't...
Sorry, grab it. Here, come on. No, I got
watch
it.
You. Quiet.
Let go of me. Between us and Sam's gun.
Yeah, I got no, it. You don't. You're not getting my pistol.
Hold his hands. Quiet. Joe, you hold him, I say.
Tom, Tom, shoot. You can pick him off. I'll have my pistol in a minute.
Go ahead.
Better not, Tom. Better not. No matter who you hit, it'll sure upset Ma.
Tom, shoot. Shoot him. Break him up. Tom.
What's it keeping, Harry?
Think fast, Tom. Think fast. Another second, somebody will get shot. But pass me your promise to let us both go safe out that window, and nobody will be hurt.
All right, Harry, you got my promise.
Tom!
Sheriff, put up your hand. I got you covered now.
Tom, you can't do this.
It's already done. Put up your hand.
You'll regret this, Tom. You'll regret it sad and heavy.
Here. Take this gun, Harry.
I got it.
Now, both of you step aside. That's it. Sheriff, I got to do this. I got to.
You're siding against the law now. The law don't forget that.
Tom, where's Harry? Where's my boy Harry?
He's coming directly, Ma. Sheriff, I got to tie you up in the lean-to. Now, Harry, you can't go from here till you've talked to Ma some. You got to leave her with an easy mind. Now, go on. Go on and bring her out here.
So that's where you've been, Harry. Out in California, raising orange.
Yeah, Ma, oranges. A whole 1,000 acres of orange trees, with the hills on one side and the sea on the other. And the orange blossoms filling the air with perfume, like when the gates of heaven are open.
Oh, it must be pretty. I sure'd like to see it, Harry.
You're going to, Ma. I'm going to send for you to come live with me there, Ma.
Soon, Harry. Send for me soon.
Just a week or two, Ma. And then you'll be able to sit out on your own porch and, well, pick oranges right off the tree.
How much longer we got to wait? Been half an hour already.
Hush. Ma's almost asleep. You go soon she dozes off.
Tell me more about it, Harry. More about California.
Oh, it's a grand place, Ma. It's got mountains standing tall like the glory of God. And then there's the ocean, the Pacific.
I've never seen an ocean.
This is the biggest ocean there is, Ma. And the bluest. And the sand on the beach is the whitest. And the waves come in. Big blue waves that have traveled all the way from China. And they bring a breeze with them that smells of tea and spice and ginger and cinnamon. And all you have to do, Ma, is sit there in the sunshine and soak up strength and watch the ocean on one side and the mountains on the other, with the birds singing and the flowers blossoming. All right, Tom. I've done what you said. I've talked her to sleep.
All right. You can go on now.
It's about time, too. I've been hearing them bloodhounds all the last half hour.
Don't you worry about them. We're going to float right past them down the river, 50 miles before morning.
You better be getting. It's almost moon up. Here's the sheriff's flashlight.
You got to keep the sheriff here till we're safe past South Fork, understand?
Yeah, I'll keep him here till you're beyond catch.
And let's get the window open, huh? There, she's up. All right, Missouri, you first.
Just ease through and drop, huh? It's only about 6 feet.
Anything you say, Harry.
Harry, don't do it. Stay, both of you, and take your trial. I'll get you the best lawyer in the state.
Oh, what a preacher you'd have made. Go on, Missouri. Push yourself off.
Sure, horrible dark out here. Can't see a thing.
Well, that's what we want. Now, go on. Drop.
All right. I'm agreeing.
Now, it's my turn. So long, Brother Tom. I'll see you. In California.
They go. They go. All right, Sheriff. Rick, I can set you loose now. Let me get it to them knots.
You let him escape, Tom. That's going to go bad for you.
Done what I had to do. There. You're free.
I reckon they're beyond catching, but if I hop out after him, I'm... Tom, you're not delaying me anymore.
I don't aim to. But look at that window. Shine your light down at the ground.
Shine my light down... Great Davy Crockett. Tom.
I had to do it, Chair. Warned no other way. I couldn't let him escape, but I couldn't let him kill my ma either.
So that's it. The river's undercut right up to the foundations of the house. No ground at all outside the window. Just a straight drop, 100 feet to the rocks.
I've just heard The Mysterious Traveler, with a title role played by Maurice Hartley. Others in the cast were Scott Tennyson, Frank Barron, Agnes Young, and Bill Smith. All characters in the story were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters was purely coincidental. Original music played by Alfinelli. Grayson Enloe speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for today, but I'll be back tomorrow with more Case Closed, another hour of old-time radio crime, and another horror replay. We're going to hear something from The Price of Fear with Vincent Price tomorrow. In the meantime, though, RelicRadio.com's got more old-time radio and links to our blog, our forum, our listener community, everything else. You can also email me, RelicRadio@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, Twitter.com/RelicRadio. Tons of ways to interact. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with another Relic Radio Show.